Hi, this is Emily.
And this is Maddie.
And this is Phil the Mead. I was trying to mix it up. I'm so sorry.
The pot, the tea is Tudor.
Oh my god.
It's happening.
It's time. It's time. Guys, it's time.
We've had little tastes.
Yeah, a little
You're getting us a little, like, tease yeah. here and there.
Oh, yeah.
Dangle it in front of our face.
You ain't had nothing like this.
I'm ready.
So the last series I did was a 5-part series on the MODOK Wars when we first started this podcast.
Yes.
And now, God bless us, out here just doing the damn thing. We have, like, so much going on that we cannot sit here and record whatever 8 hours I'm about to have on camera. So guess what? You're going to get part one, my turn this time. Mm-hmm. And then when it's my turn again, you're going to get part two. And then when it's my turn again, you're going to get part three.
Hell
and
yeah.
We're just going to spread this out. And you're going to want that because there's so much detail. Mm-hmm. Like, I have found so much detail.
I love that.
Because there's Catherine's amazing. There's so much out there on her, like,
yeah.
So many people talk about her, and you should listen and watch all of it, because you'll never get sick of it. But the approach I'm taking here is, like, a little less fact-heavy and more, like, we're gonna, like, paint a picture.
Ooh.
And, like, give you, like, a really passionate, like, look about everything going on, like, in the background of this, and, like, by part 4 or 5 or whatever the fuck, like, 13, like, I want everyone to be, like, crying and throwing up over,
oh my gosh, like, we're, like,
your love for Catherine.
Yeah, we're, like, so invested.
You're
in
so
her.
Invested.
Yeah.
Like, I want everyone to listen to this and be like, she's my favorite one.
Yeah.
Ooh. And then when you listen to Anne Boleyn, be like, she's my favorite
one.
Shit.
And
then when you listen to Jane Seymour, be like, no, she's my favorite one.
Oh my god, I love that.
I'm not going to say that about Jane Seymour.
No.
Everyone else, maybe.
Maybe we'll stick with Anne Boleyn, but I'd still be like, wow, that was really fucking good.
I mean, at
the very least.
Oh, yeah.
Because this is more than it is, like, part one, part two. This is, like, a series.
This is,
like,
a
series episode one
series.
Of this series. Yeah.
Yes. Like, this first part here, this whole first part, which is probably going to be a massive episode, we're going to try to do it under, like, 2 hours here. Literally. Mm-hmm. So buckle up. But this first part, she doesn't even hit England.
Oh,
like,
my
that's
God.
The detail we're doing here.
I love. I'm here for it.
Yeah, God. And so here we go. I've just lived and breathed Catherine, and I'm so excited. And here we go. She was born the nights between the 15th and 16th of December of 1485. So she is a Sag. We got a fire sign. She was born at the Archbishop of Toledo's palace.
Mm-hmm.
And she was born at a place called Alcalá de Henares.
Ooh.
I'm so sorry, everybody.
No, you're doing your best.
It's on the outskirts of Madrid. It's like this dusty plain. It's very exposed to the elements.
Yeah.
And this super, like, a land of extremes. Like, mm-hmm. super hot in the summer. It freezes over in the winter. Like, it's kind of like here, that high desert sort of thing.
Don't love, yeah.
She was born in this kind of different sort of area because she was the fifth surviving child of Ferdinand and Isabella.
Yeah!
And Isabella is at war right now while she's having her. So, her birth name was the Castilian Infanta Catalina de Aragon in Castilla.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, Catalina.
That is so beautiful. Oh my gosh.
So beautiful. And a few days after her birth, even though we're at war here, we're in a lull of war, but they are definitely still taking Granada, you know, like we're doing that right now. And so a few days after her birth, she is in her white brocade silk christening gown. It was lined with green velvet, and it had this gold trim along the outside, and a gold lacy trim.
Oh, what a little baby dream.
Oh my she gosh. Was baptized by the Bishop of Palencia, and here she was, the fourth daughter. And so would they only have one heir, one son, so would they have liked a boy? Yeah, But they were, I mean, daughters. Isabella and Ferdinand are smart, and they know what to do with their daughters. And Isabella is in the, she's in the business of making queens.
Okay,
like, she's not just raising daughters.
Absolutely.
Like, she's raising little Isabellas.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So having these daughters is just as good.
I love.
Just as good. So yeah, we are going to talk a little bit about Ferdinand and Isabella because they're just legends throughout Europe. We do have an episode on them and how they got together and all of that. And
really good.
It's really good. And even reading the book that I read, for this episode, it's, which I'll link it. I don't know. It's over there and I can't see it, but I will mention it because it is very good. But even reading through the book, every time it said like, something about for I'm like, I love them.
Yeah,
I love them.
Oh my god,
like just their dynamic. It's like they were a very like different couple at the time, and like the way that they like divided this power made them even more powerful. And I'm like, no, I love them.
I love them. They did what worked for them, and god damn it worked for them.
Wow. And yeah, and I'm excited for this one because a lot of people hate Ferdinand specifically over Catherine and like what's gonna happen.
Really?
Yeah, probably.
Okay, because I remember you saying that in the episode about the two of them.
But, yeah, okay, they they get real mad. And I hope that this like paints a picture because it's just one of those things where it's the mindset was so different back then. You can't really justify Ferdinand's behavior here, but explaining so much context and stuff, I'm interested to see if people still hate him after this.
Yeah.
But Catherine was likely named for her mother's grandmother, Catherine of Lancaster, who was the daughter of Constance of Castile, who was the second wife of John Gaunt, himself son of England's Edward III.
Oh, shit.
That's all you have to take away from that.
Okay.
English royalty.
I was going to say,
on Isabella's side.
Yes. Okay. There is ancestry there.
Yes.
That is English royalty. That is good to know. That is great context.
Ferdinand was the great-grandson of Philippa of Lancaster.
Oh.
Philippa's brother was Henry IV of England.
Oh, shit.
So Catherine of Aragon has considerable English royal heritage herself here. Like, she has blue blood. Yeah. her parents, it gets worse, or better, depending on the year. Her parents are also both part of the House Trastamara.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yep. So that was a dynasty that ruled over kingdoms in the Iberian Peninsula for just so long.
Oh, yeah.
So this is like a really good bloodline, and this is something that she's gonna feel really secure about in her life, and she should.
Yeah.
This is some solid ass like blue breeding here.
For sure.
So the marriage of Isabella and Ferdinand united the kingdoms of Spain, and together they had driven the Moors from Granada. Not quite yet, but they're going to.
Okay.
Like that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
So as I mentioned, at the time of Catherine's birth, we're still in war here. So the first 5 years or so of Catherine's life are going to be spent following this army around, like literally at war.
Uh-huh.
So she's going, Isabella is leading, you know, all of these, like, she's amazing.
A bad bitch.
Yeah,
also,
she's,
what an interesting childhood to have.
What an interesting childhood, literally at war.
That's wild.
Bopping around all over. She is like living a soldier's life, essentially.
Yeah.
Because her mom is fulfilling this ambition to complete the Christian Reconquista of Spain.
Oh my God. I just like have this vision in my head though of like her sitting around a fire with some of the soldiers and she is just like this cute little thing.
Sweet little thing.
Of them's like carving her a little doll and they're all like joking with her and stuff and she's just giggling and getting spoiled and they're just like a bunch of big brothers.
I love
that. Is like my romanticized version in my head I have of this is like they're just all a bunch of big brothers to her.
Let's
just like real cute.
I love that.
Yeah, that's my romanticized version.
Yeah, I mean, I do.
We don't know, so let's go with it.
Yeah.
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 Someone's carving a doll. Someone's making her a little snack.
Yeah, like, they're in between driving Moors from Granada.
Yeah.
These people are, like, the little Catalina.
You know
little
what they
Catalina.
Need in their life? Like, yeah, a cute little girl who's gonna, like, sing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star to them.
That
and just make their whole little day.
What they need. They're on, like, a 10-year campaign.
Yeah.
Here. Like, this is a lot. This is a lot going on. Note, however, that, I mean, Catherine from birth for her first 5 years of life is the religious undertones here are insane. Her parents are the Catholic monarchs. They are doing all of this in the name of Christianity, the name of Catholic, like her piousness, which she will be, I don't know if piousness is a word, but she will be known for that. And like, it starts now, like, okay, she, everything is just this big religious undertone. So in 1491, Granada finally surrenders in this stage ceremony, and Catherine's there. Like, she watches, like, as a little girl, watches, like, Granada surrender, like, at her parents' feet, you know, in the name of Christianity.
That'll change you.
Yeah. So they're in Granada. Granada surrendered, but the royal family's like, yeah, we're not just, like, gonna live in Granada, though. We have to keep traveling around Spain to, like, you know, be like, hi, what's up? We're all Spain now. We're all one big thing. Here we are. Like, look at us.
You have to really, like, solidify the unity here.
Mm-hmm. Isabella would do this thing, too, where they would go from, like, city to city. And Spain's so diverse at this time, right? Because you have, like, you have, like, a lot of Muslim influence, a lot of, like, Jewish influence, a lot of, you have the Moors who were originally from, like, Northern Africa. So you have, like, this whole thing going, which we talk about in Isabella and Ferdinand. We also talk about it in the Ziryab episode too.
Yes.
Where Spain was just beautiful.
There was a time when it was harmony, this melting pot.
Yeah. Yeah. And everyone could just fucking do their thing.
Do their thing, have their own religion, and just like no one kind of bugged each other about it.
Debatably, sort of, it was this Isabella and Ferdinand that threw those Moors out. And so there goes, like, that Muslim influence. Now they have taken over all of that in the name of Catholicism.
All right.
Well, you know, they thought they were doing the right thing. Anyways,
this is nothing new. How many times do we see this?
Right. Back to something light and fluffy, though. So they would be going to these different cities, and every city would have, like, a complete different culture.
Yeah.
Like, different style of dress and all this. And Isabella would send people ahead of time to, like, get, like, wardrobes and fashion stuff put together. Ooh. So when she entered that city, she, like, looked like them, dressed like them, and, like, had that, like, unity.
Ooh, that's smart, because it's, then it doesn't feel like this foreign queen coming in. Mm-hmm. You're looking at her and you're like, my auntie wore a dress like that to her 40th birthday party. Yeah. Like,
she is Spain. She's uniting us. She's wearing what I am. She's, like, you know, she's here a part of this.
She is my people. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I am her people.
Mm-hmm. So they're doing that.
God, that's such a smart little tactic.
Yeah, gosh. The Pope is, like, so just tickled pink. He's like, look at the Catholicism coming out of these people.
This is so great.
I love that. Fun. Ferdinand and Isabella are, like, now, like, my favorites. Mm. And they're like, cool, we're going to tour Spain, asserting our royal authority and all of that. All
right.
So they do that for a bit. 1499 rolls around, and they are going to put a more permanent court up. And they are going to put it at the Jewel of Granada, at this place called the Alhambra.
Ooh.
Oh my God. The Alhambra, like, my, it, like, already gave me goosebumps. So this is one of the most sophisticated and elegant palaces in Europe at the time. I'll post pictures. Look it up right now. Look up, like, the Alhambra of Spain and just look at the photos. This place is so fucking breathtaking. I will post photos.
How do I spell it?
Alhambra, Spain. Or Granada. You can put Granada too. So, again, you have, like, the Muslim influence and everything that's, like, coming through these, like, beautiful, like, architectural, like, tiles and, like, the arches. Oh, and, like, it really gives you that, like, Spanish. It was even more beautiful back then. This was after a renovation that we'll talk about in a little bit. But when Catherine lived there, this place was
that detail, though.
Oh, my God. Oh,
holy
my God.
Crap.
And I'll, like, we'll talk about the Alhambra here in a little bit, and I will, like, lay out what it looked like. But just know for now that this is the Jewel of Granada. It was a no-brainer. We're setting up court here.
Yeah. Look at it. This is where we want to be for sure. Yep. Oh, it already, like, not even that, like, not even the building itself, like, and this isn't even what it was back then.
No.
But even just, like, the palm trees and, like, oh, this is, like, beautiful blue skies. And it looks, like, kind of, like, tropical.
Oasis kind of. Yeah. And it was. And, oh, we'll talk about it. When the Moors were driven out of Granada, the ruler. I don't know if he was called a king or an emperor. I don't know. But whoever the leader was who was living at the Alhambra, as he left, like, and was getting driven out, like, he was just bawling.
And his mama
was standing behind him, and his mom was like, don't cry like a woman for what you can defend as a man.
Oh my God, you just lost
the fucking Alhambra. Like, Jesus. Get the fuck up and, like, walk out. Yeah, like, fuck. Yeah, it's like a big mama burn.
Holy shit, it hurts
every year.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, that just definitely made him tougher. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
But, wow, I would cry over that place, too. Damn.
Oh, it's beautiful. Oh. And so, Isabella, she had kept her children with her during all this conquering, all the touring, all of that, because she was supervising their education.
Mm-hmm.
She was making sure that they are getting the best education available in the 1490s, for sure. And she, Isabella, was very smart, but she was determined that her daughters were going to be better than she had been. They're going to be smarter than her. They're going to be better.
I love that energy, because I hate when, like, parents are, like, jealous of their kids or think that, like, they are the best possible version of anybody. So, like, well, you can't even be as good as me. No, like, I want my kids to be better than me.
Me too.
And I hope their kids are better than them.
Yeah.
And I hope every generation of my family just keeps getting better and better.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And because, again, like, Isabella makes queens. Yes. Like, she is literally raising these girls to set them on thrones. Like, her and Ferdinand have a whole plan of where they're going to plop these girls. And she's like, yeah, you are not just going to be an accessory. You're going to be, like, a living representation of this alliance.
Yes.
Like, with the country. You're going to go over there and be a fucking queen.
Yeah.
And you're going to be smart. And I'm going to, like, teach you how to do that.
Oh, my God. I love that
so much.
So there's
records of little Catherine, like, riding her own mule by, like, 6 years old. And she had this, like, special, like, very pretty, very padded, like, little shiny saddle, and it had, like, little posts on it, so she would, like, sit on it, and then they would, like, pick the saddle up and, like, put it on.
That's so cute.
Or the terrain of Spain was so fucking rugged, and like when she was traveling all this time, like, this was dangerous. Like,
yeah,
Spain is just, like, chopped up by these really rocky mountains, rivers. Like, it's just the terrain is rough. So if the terrain was rugged, the mule has a hard time. They take little Infanta off. They carry her up the thing, you know.
Oh my God, that's cute.
Yeah,
so the mule doesn't have to have a girl on his back.
Yeah, yeah.
But then,
and,
like,
she's not gonna fall.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, like,
she's still on the saddle. Shiny cute saddle.
Yeah, she's up there in her side saddle.
She, like, named the mule Poppy, and she, like, took little, like, sticker rhinestones, and she, like, spelled Poppy out on the side of the saddle.
Oh my god.
Cute.
Made a little flower crown.
Oh my gosh, she absolutely is sitting there making matching flower crowns for her and Poppy.
Yeah.
Every time they stop for camp.
God, I don't know, but, like, she's, like, a Spanish badass. It's like a flower and thorns, like, thistle crown.
No, somehow. And then she's absolutely going to battle.
Yeah.
Cute book. Okay, this is so random. My daughter has a book called Not All Princesses Dress in Pink.
Uh-huh.
And it's basically, like, saying, like, yeah, you can wear, like, a stinky soccer outfit and a sparkly crown. You can wear a beautiful princess dress and a sparkly crown. But you can also, like, go kill a dragon in a sparkly crown.
Mm-hmm,
like, you can be all things. You can be multifaceted.
Yeah.
And our girl was multifaceted.
Catherine
was wearing the cute little flower crown with Poppy, and Poppy's cute little... This mule's name is not Poppy. I'm just making this up.
Yeah,
I hope
mean,
that's been made
now.
Abundantly clear.
Yeah, yeah, don't quote us on that part. Yeah.
Poppy also has a flower crown, but she's also going and practicing some sword play with the soldiers who act as her big brothers. This is so cute. I love this imaginary thing I made up in my head.
I know. I love what you've done to Catherine's childhood.
Right?
Like, I love it so much.
Her childhood's so cute now.
I want to live in there.
Yeah.
She's learning Latin. All of her sisters are as well. Latin is the language of diplomacy. It's only normally taught to boys at this time, but Isabella's like, absolutely fucking not.
No.
My daughters are going to speak it fluently, write it fluently. They're going to know all that. Catherine can write and speak Latin fluently.
Oh my God.
She also studied other branches of, like, early humanist educations, so, like, history, poetry, writings of Aristotle, other philosophers, law, things like that. As well as traditional skills of upper class women at the time. So managing a household, needlework, music, dancing, etiquette, chess, table cards, hunting, all of it.
Multifaceted.
Multifaceted. However, with every single thing that I just listed, and every single thing I just listed, the Latin, the philosophy, the needlework, every single one of these things had a major Catholic undertone.
Oh,
like,
wow.
That is what all of this is. And back then, everything was very religious, right?
Yeah,
like, people literally had books of hours that would guide you through prayers, like, at certain hours of the day. Like, this is just what it was. But Isabella is very, very devoutly religious. And so every single thing they're doing is, like, Isabella is, like, she likes her Catholicism rough. Like,
okay, yeah.
She likes it hard. Like, the stricter the priest, the better.
Oh,
like,
shit. Okay.
She went into one priest, and he didn't, like, stand up for her. And she's like, I'm sorry. What are you doing? Like, I'm fucking Queen Isabella. Stand up and greet me. He's like, no, I'm God's representation. Like, you stand up and greet me. And she's like, I love him. This is my man.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Because, like, I mean, she likes her priest strict. Like, she's, I mean,
she wants everyone to take it. Yeah, as seriously as she does, it
sounds
like.
Like, she's gonna be, like, chasing away and burning heretics intense. Like, Isabella is intense.
She's very serious about this.
Catherine would have seen the Inquisition. She's growing up during this. She's smelling those book burnings. She's hearing people dying outside. Like, maybe she wasn't watching these things, but she knows that it's happening, and she's hearing all about it.
Oh, like, for sure. This is a part of her life.
Yes.
Like, it's unavoidable.
Yes. Because, like, processions in the Inquisition were standard practice. Like, we're going to parade these heretics through and humiliate them before we burn them all alive. Like, people are seeing this. Like, all of Isabella's daughters were like this, too. So, before marrying the King of Portugal, for example, Catherine's oldest sister, Isabella, before she even gets to Portugal, she writes and says, I am not even traveling to your country until it is cleansed of all the heretics. I'm not even fucking showing up.
Oh, my God.
She did that without telling Isabella and Ferdinand. That's just how she was, and they did it. They got rid of all of them. She's like, okay, I'll come now. Like, that's just how that's how it is. And that is just how they were raised. Like, cleanse the heretics. Cleansing is what they say.
Dear God.
Yeah, these are the daughters of Isabella.
Okay.
Okay, so the next couple of things I'm going to tell you are super important points to understand Catherine's situation later on in life, right? This is all royal women at the time, but Isabella really instilled this in her daughters, and Catherine's really going to feel this. But the purpose of Catherine's education really was to make her a suitable wife for a future husband, likely a king or a prince. The point was to give her enough knowledge and wisdom to influence him to think favorably of her native country.
Oh no, there is absolutely, like, some underlying manipulation.
You're an ambassador
here.
Like, and Catherine especially is, like, going to be a little ambassador here. But literally royal women who were married for an alliance of a country are literally the living representation of that alliance.
Absolutely.
Like,
yeah.
Between them and their husband's realm. Like, she will be, they will look over at her in the English court and be like, there is Spain. That right there is our alliance with Spain personified. Catherine knows this at, like, the youngest age and they all
pressure.
Do.
Yeah, that's a lot of pressure.
So, like I said, Ferdinand and Isabella, super powerful right now. They are just forces to be reckoned with. And all of Europe knows that. All the world knows that.
Oh, yeah.
And Catherine's going to have a lot of pride in her family. All of her family, not just her parents. Because Catherine's brother, Juan, and her sister, Juana, were married off to the powerful Habsburg family.
Right. Oh, my God. I remember this. Oh, my gosh.
If you want to go back and listen to the Margaret of Austria episodes, that's who Juan marries. And little Catherine standing there when Margaret of Austria comes walking in to marry her brother.
Wow.
Yep, and it's like a whole thing. Isabella loved Margaret, like we saw. Like, the book I'm reading mentions her little, like, epitaph that she wrote when she thought she's gonna die. Like,
oh my God.
On the book. By the way, one thing to note, we'll get to it in a bit, but a boat trip back and forth from, like, Spain, the Bay of Biscay, and England right now is, like, you're just gonna fucking die. Like, it is, like, the most dangerous goddamn thing.
What?
Yeah, like, Margaret almost died.
Oh, like, I do she remember wrote her that, little, though.
Like, God, what was it? Like,
yeah, she wrote something,
here I
right?
am, the ever-willing bride.
Yes.
Like,
it was
married twice, but a virgin when I die.
Yes! That's what it was.
Yes, that's what it was.
I was going to say it was something like really kind of like a always the bridesmaid, never the bride kind of deal.
Like,
going
God,
on.
Yep. Just never gonna get it.
Yeah, never gonna get laid.
Married twice.
This sucks.
So, yeah, there was one. And then she will have two other sisters, Isabella and Maria, who are both gonna marry the King of Portugal.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So, Isabella is going to die.
Oh.
We're going to talk about that a little bit. She dies in childbirth, and they're going to send Maria over to replace her.
That's
be
funny.
Like, yeah, here's the, which kind of fucks their plan up a little bit, because they have four daughters to, like, play ball with. And yeah, now, like, and now two of them are in Portugal.
Yeah, you had to use two.
You had to use two.
Oh,
and
God.
Maria's.
Imagine having to use your children, like, little pawns like that.
I know.
That's
and
wild.
Maria's life, too. Like, I'll just wrap it up really quick. Maria's going to go to Portugal, and they are literally going to breed her to death. She is going to be pregnant back to back to back to back to back.
Oh,
and every
my God.
Single delivery takes a little more out of her
no.
until at the very end she goes like temporarily insane.
Oh my
and
God.
And then like regains that back and just dies. They literally bred her to death.
That is.
Isabella just died God. The first one.
Oh my God.
Know?
I yeah. would rather die after the first
no,
one.
No, seriously.
Fuck that.
And that's,
fuck that.
That's
oh
Maria's
my God.
Fate. And she has like pretty much no other role in history than that's just what she did.
Like a queen mother. I would just like, as Isabella, I'd be like, fuck you guys
I know,
for killing like two of my children. Oh my
no,
God.
I know.
I mean,
know.
And like, Isabella wasn't their fault. Like,
no.
Dying in childbirth from what, your first child? Was it her first baby?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's no one's fault. It just happens. But,
yeah.
like, forcing her to be pregnant over and
over.
Oh, my God.
Over and
get
over
fucked.
With just months, a couple
go
months in between. Yeah.
To, oh, my God, go to hell.
Yeah.
Go to hell. Like, really, was it worth it? Like, she could have had more babies if you would have given her some more fucking
time
between.
This was only, like, a quick blip that I looked at. I counted 8. I don't know if, like, beyond that. But, God, like, Queen Claude of France, too. Back to back to back to back. Like, it's just your whole life. And, like, it's just, yeah, it's awful.
It's like, I just, ugh. It doesn't it take, I think it technically takes, like, 2 years to fully recover from childbirth.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, I think it's like 2 years.
Like, I don't know that I'm fully recovered.
Yeah,
my son
right?
turns 2 at the end of this month, so
exactly.
I'll let you know how I'm feeling.
Yeah, let us know next month, and
yeah.
maybe you're gonna be like, I'm great now. Because, like, you never go back to how you were, for sure, but,
yeah,
like,
no.
just, like, recover to the point where, like, it's now fully okay to get pregnant again. Like, as okay as it can
I
be,
have,
you know?
Like, hi, everyone. Here's information you did not sign up to hear, but I had a C-section with my son, and, like, my scar still hurts. Like, if I bump in on something or something,
oh, yeah.
like, it's still, like, like, it's, yeah. So, no, 2 months.
Oh, my gosh,
two
yeah.
months.
Yeah, parts of my scar are still, like, red. Like,
yeah.
haven't even faded.
Right?
So that,
no,
like,
I know
white
it.
Line. I think it just always will be. It's just, like, the
yeah.
very edge of it. Like,
God.
I just wonder if it always
they
will
literally,
be.
Like, went in there, and they're like, well, swelling's down, so I guess get back in there, Maria.
God.
Like, lay down.
Oh,
here we go.
Oh, my God. Go to hell.
Go
I'm
to
so...
Hell.
That makes me, like,
no, it, like, makes me nauseous.
It makes me sick and, like, so fucking angry.
Yeah. It should. It should.
Yeah.
It's International Women's Month. And here's to Maria.
Here's a reminder of how women have been treated in the past.
Pour one out for Maria. She did not deserve it. No one. None of them did. None of them did.
None of them did.
Anyway, so Catherine, at just, like, the youngest age, is promised to England.
Yeah, okay.
Henry VII's over there. He's like, hey, you got that daughter? I got a son. Let's go. And they're like, okay, yeah, let's get this all worked out. So they whip up a contract that's finalized before her fourth birthday.
Wow. So, holy. Yeah. Okay. So, before her fourth birthday?
Before her first. When she was like 2 years old, ambassadors were right over there from England. Like, okay. Like, what can we do here?
They're like, she made it through infancy. She's probably going to survive a decent amount of time. Let's get going.
Yeah. They didn't like, I appreciated this. I don't know. It's just like such the bare minimum. Went over there to like, you know, gawk at this 3 year old and all of that. But they didn't like describe her. Which I thought was nice, you know?
It is the bare minimum, but you know what? We are all about appreciating the bare minimum because we so often get less.
Yeah, especially back then.
Yeah.
Before 4 years old. So, Britain, right? This island nation sitting out in the ocean was long torn between the Plantagenet cousins competing for the throne. Henry Tudor won that battle. He is now the King of England. So, he had married the daughter of the former Plantagenet king. Here is, like, crash course War of the Roses. Yeah. He married the other side's daughter, right?
Yeah.
And so they united, you know, the Yorks and the two. Yeah, all of that. So in 1486, they had a male heir, and they needed to establish that stability and validity of this new dynasty because had just been a civil war for God fucking so long.
Yep, now. Let's get some stability in here. Yep, for sure.
Something Isabella and Ferdinand know all about.
Yeah,
they know all about civil wars, and so they get it. So God, a match with this Spanish princess would give him both of those things. Mm-hmm. Like, it would say, look, everyone, Isabella and Ferdinand recognize me as the King of England. Like, hey, what's up? However, because Ferdinand and Isabella were very familiar with the perils of civil war, they knew all about these pretenders in England, right? Uh-huh. Remember the princes in the tower?
Yes.
Those princes saying, like, no, actually, I'm the heir to the English throne, not him. Perkin Warbeck personally wrote Isabella and said, hi, it's me. I was one of the princes in the tower. That is my throne, not Henry's. Don't marry into it because I'm taking, like, and it freaked Isabella out.
Oh, yeah.
And no kidding. Well, yeah, because they're like, we need to know.
For sure.
Yeah.
Because we're not going to have you overthrown and our daughter killed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the crown needs to be secure. We're not sending our daughter over there when, like, there's pretenders out.
Yeah.
And Henry the VII's over there dealing with these fucking people every day.
Yeah.
Listen to our episode on Henry the VIII's childhood to hear how stressful this was. Uh-huh. Just every fucking day. And so he's fucking sick of it anyways. And he's like, cool, I'm just going to execute him. I'm going to execute Perkin Warbeck. I'm going to execute the young Earl of Warwick.
Yeah.
And he was a child, and he seemed to have some mental impairments there and that kind of thing.
God.
So that was a choice.
Oh, God.
Part of the reason he did that was to ease Isabella and Ferdinand's mind and get Catherine over here.
Wow.
And that's going to be a big point of contention to Catherine later because someone is going to look her in the eye and say, like, those people died for you.
Oh.
And she's going to feel real guilty about it. So that's a big deal. It wasn't his only reason. It made his life it sucks. Back then was so cutthroat. It kind of needed to be done. If you are Henry the VII, it needed to be done.
Uh-huh.
And that fucking sucks for everyone else.
Wow.
Part of the reason was to get Catherine over there because the second they were dead, Isabella and Ferdinand were like, yeah, okay.
Yep.
We get it.
Wow, yeah.
So yeah, let's talk about the Tudors for a little bit.
Yes.
So Catherine was born in 1485, the same year Henry the VII came to power.
Oh, okay, wow.
Big year. So like I said, in the childhood of Henry the VIII's episode, two episodes there if you want to listen to them, it is so important to Catherine's story that we understand the fragility of the crown in England right now. Like, it is so important to Henry the VIII's story. It, like, the fact that the crown was so up in the air and, like, got won over, like, usurped in a battle.
Yeah.
This is, like, extremely scary.
Oh, yeah.
It is so up in the air. It's very stressful for these people. And England is, like, so tired of all of the civil wars, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Henry the VII doesn't want to do it. No one wants to do it. And, like, arguably, Catherine's royal descent could be more legit than Henry the VII's, right? Like, she has some, like, damn noble English blood.
Oh, yeah.
And so he knows that. And he's like, yep, give me Catherine. This will be great. So in 1486, Arthur was born. Henry VII sought, obviously, very powerful connections through marriage to secure his rule. Mm-hmm. And Isabella and Ferdinand had them daughters to bargain with. So they wanted to put heirs on all the thrones all throughout Europe. Yep. England looked nice. So they first, Ferdinand and Isabella, first sent diplomats to England to negotiate Catherine's marriage in 1487. That's 1 year after Arthur was born. Wow. So this was starting.
Whoa.
Yep. That very next year, Henry VII is like, yep, let's do it. Agreement was drawn up. So Ferdinand and Isabella were to pay the dowry in two parts.
Okay.
One, when Catherine arrived in England, that first installment was due. And the other, after the wedding ceremony.
Okay. If it
was finalized, then you're going to get that second installment.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Very straightforward.
Yep.
That was the deal.
It sounds fair.
It sounds fair.
As long as everyone follows through and everything.
Yeah. Okay. So even at this point, because that sounds so simple, there is just like so many differences between the two families over the terms of this contract. This contract is going to be a bloody mess the entire fucking time.
Oh.
Like, they renegotiate so many times. Like, they agree knowing damn well the other side isn't going to do something. It's a fucking mess.
Okay.
But that's the dowry we have set to be paid in two separate parts.
All right.
Yeah.
That is what was agreed upon by both parties.
Okay. Yes. So, Henry's early recognition and support of the treaty that unified Castile and Aragon definitely helped out with this whole thing, because he was already in there, right? He's like, Isabella and Ferdinand, please like me. And he's like, oh my god, you guys did this treaty, I love that treaty.
Yeah.
Like, here I am supporting your treaty. And they're like, hey, that's like pretty helpful to us. Like, okay, yeah, like we're cool. Also, that treaty happened to align England with Spain and not France, and so they both hate France.
Oh,
and so nothing makes an ally like hating France.
Oh yeah.
And so because of that, they're really like, oh my god, like, and if our kids get married, we're really gonna hand it to France, and we all love that.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, we love it.
Enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Mm-hmm. And Catherine and Arthur are obviously just like, just way too young to actually marry at this time. There are some sort of standards there anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So here's a little bit of side drama. So Ferdinand and Isabella, while the contract is in place with England, this is what I'm saying, it's a mess, they're still secretly, like, looking at other things, though. They're, like, still talking with other people to see if they can find something
they're
better.
They're exploring their options. Listen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's a roster.
There is.
They've got a roster. And yes, England is at the top of the roster, but They're smart. They still know there needs to be a roster.
There needs to be a roster. Mm-hmm. They're talking to Scotland, which is like a lot because England and Scotland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyways, this agreement is not rock solid. And this is one of the just 10 million things stressing Henry VII out right now.
Yeah.
He's like, I want her in Spain where I can see that she's here and they cannot marry her off to anyone else because we have this whole ass agreement in place.
Yes.
And I'm hearing all of these things where, like, they're talking to all these people. Like, I want Catherine here right now.
Yeah.
Like, now. So he starts really early on being like, okay, the second Arthur turns 14 years old, she will be on a boat here in England.
Yeah.
We can all see her, and this is happening.
And we can actually, like, make some solid plans here.
For the love of fucking God.
Yep.
So the marriage agreement between Spain and England was amended a few times. Treaties were signed. They were signed in England in 1497. And they're like, okay, yep, 14. We'll send her over there when Arthur is 14. And so 2 years after that point, they're still very young, but they're going to do a little proxy wedding, right?
Okay.
We love a bi-proxy wedding.
Oh, yes.
In the
so
Tudor
common.
Times.
Uh-huh.
So this required a papal dispensation because Arthur was younger than the age of consent.
Okay.
And the Pope's like, oh, I can give consent for anybody. Here it is for Arthur. He's getting married.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know. And it was just like, they have this fucking proxy wedding and everyone's like, okay, cool. And then, like, in 2 years, the whole fucking agreement is, like, back up in the air and they're renegotiating everything. It is so exhausting.
Yeah.
It's so exhausting. Did I say 2 years? I meant the next year. Like, the very next year. They're picking apart this thing again.
Oh, my God.
So The arguments were always especially over the payment of the dowry.
Yeah.
And her arrival date in England.
Oh,
like,
okay.
It was those two big things. So Henry the VII wants her there earlier than later, right?
Yeah.
A, the first half of that dowry comes when she does.
Yep.
And B, she's there.
Yep.
Like, she is here. No. I know where she is at.
Exactly.
Like, thank God.
I know she's way more likely to get married to my son.
Yes.
If she is here.
Where
I can see her. Yep. In my palace.
Yes. Yeah. And she is Ferdinand and Isabella in one compact body, and I can look at my alliance with Spain.
Exactly.
And know that
yep.
she is
that
here.
It is solid, it is secure as I can make it in this moment.
Yep, and he's mm-hmm. trying. He's like, I don't know, can we, like, do another proxy wedding? Like, they're doing that again?
Like, double proxy?
Yeah. They're doing that.
Wow.
You know? Yeah, it's...
Wow.
All of this is going on.
What
that's
a wreck.
All. I know, and I know that's, like, boring political stuff, but it's super...
It's kind of funny, though.
...important.
Yeah.
Because this is all gonna... come back.
What's it?
You kind of have to hold on to all of this info, and I'll do a quick little recap before every episode because you have to wait a long time for the second one, and all of this is so important.
Yeah.
But it's really important to know that this marriage treaty was a fucking hot mess. Dowry and arrival date were a big hot button issue. But for now, let's go back to Spain and let me, like, paint this picture of Catherine's childhood.
Yay!
So while all of that is going on, she's just kind of, like, doing her thing in Alhambra, right?
Yeah.
Like, she's just, like, a little girl.
Uh-huh.
So she is... she's promised to England at, like, 2-3 years old.
Right.
So they start right there. They're like, okay, here is England. Here is where it is. These are the Tudors. This mm-hmm. is their family. This, and they
you're
start
gonna learn
drilling her.
Everything about
yep.
them. Like, by the time she gets there, she's going to know everybody, everything they're about.
Yep.
Likes, dislikes, yeah, favorite color, favorite food, what mm-hmm. they're allergic mm-hmm. to. She's going to mm-hmm. know freaking everything.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Like, it's one of the very first sentences, like, she will ever comprehend is, you are the Infanta, and you are going to be the Queen of England one day.
Yeah,
that
wow.
is what you are doing.
Yep.
Queen of England.
Yep.
You. And she's, England seems, like, so, like, exotic and, like, yeah. far away, you uh-huh. know? And, like, she just
it's
has
exciting.
An idea.
Yeah.
The Spanish court is very segregated at this time between men and women.
Okay.
So men and women ate at separate tables.
Wow.
Like, in the Spanish court, very, very divided. Spanish ambassadors would be just fucking shocked when they would go to other countries and stay with people, and, like, their wives would be, like, eating at the table with them.
Oh, my God.
And the Spanish were like, I'm not eating in the room with her. Like, I hate this. And, like,
woof.
There's a lot of accounts of, like, especially in England, them being like, okay, well, then go eat outside.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know what to tell you.
Which I love a little bit.
I,
you know?
Really love that.
That's kind
of
nice.
Yeah, be like, okay, I get that that's, like, your culture, but it's also sexist.
Yep,
and my wife is eating with me.
Yeah,
you can't tell me what to do.
She's like
this
the whole ass lady of the house. Like,
yeah.
She's above you.
You're exactly. You're not going to kick her.
Yeah. She's
from
a
her
duchess,
own
bro.
Dining room table.
Yeah.
Kidding me?
Like, who are you?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they would. They would just go eat somewhere else. They're not doing it. So Catherine knows just nothing about boys. Just nothing.
Oh.
Not a thing.
Oh, okay.
She mm-hmm. did, however, have a little pendant of Arthur that she got when she was just very little.
That's
so she had this little.
Weirdly fucking adorable.
No, okay. This is really cute, too. This is cute gossip. So they, because it's all segregated, they would have, like, gossip girl time, right? So they would go and, like, tell each other all these tales of, like, chivalry about, like, knights and, like, princesses. And they would, like, either sing ballads about them. Like, they would eat dinner, and after dinner, they would go listen to these stories. And they would, like, daydream and escape. It's like fucking Pisces hour.
That is, like, so cute.
Uh-huh. Isabella would love it, too. She would, like, be in there listening to the stories, like, sighing, like, when it got romantic.
Oh,
like, they all just love this.
That's so cute.
And it's so great. And it adds another layer to all of this, because a lot of those tales at the time were from the romantic and exotic land of England. The
yeah.
Holy Grail, Merlin,
oh.
Lancelot, like,
oh, yeah.
all of it. And her, King Arthur, oh my God, that's who your husband's name
oh,
after, Catalina.
True.
Like, you can kind of see them all, like, you
oh
know,
my
like,
gosh,
snickering
yeah,
over.
Yeah. Like, kind of teasing her.
Every yeah. time, like, Arturo came up,
oh,
like, looking at her. Which, like,
Arturo.
Fuck, dude.
That's so fucking cool.
Yeah, that's... Mm. These characters were all on tapestries surrounding her when she grew up, and I can just picture her walking by and being like, there's England and all of these knights and, like, my Arthur, you know,
oh,
like, I'm
honey.
That's gonna be me kind of thing, you
God,
know,
the way that things may have turned out if they
If so many things.
I do
if
know.
So many things.
Yeah, I do know what why that ends with them, but like, oh God, yeah. Wow, if things had been different. God, like, I what know. Could have been? Who yeah. knows?
The second episode, maybe, God, I'll see how long this is. And like, we might actually run out of time today. In the second episode, there's so many, like, what happened yeah. moments that, yeah. like, it just kills you. But yeah, so the Arab influence in Spain, again, we talked about that in the Ferdinand and Isabella and Zuriab episodes. Mm-hmm. So the Christian and Jews were all living under this Muslim rule for the most part, but it worked for a long time.
Okay.
The architecture, the music, all of that kept all of this influence alive throughout yeah. Spain. And because of this Arab influence, I can tell you what Catherine's childhood smelt like. And if Whoa. You know anything about me, I love this shit.
Yes.
Like, oh my God. Cue up the story of the time that our fucking mall parking lot sewage system overflowed yep. and I yep. was hanging my head out the car window. Like, is this what England smelt like back in the day? Like a psycho. I'm like gagging.
Like shit.
Yeah. I'm just like, it's awful. But this though, right?
Oh my this gosh. This is, yeah. We have said before too, when we mentioned this story, is that like, oh, to go back, just take one sniff and then be able to go.
Yeah.
I just want to have one sniff and be like, huh, wow, I wouldn't have been able to handle that.
Nope.
Good to know.
Not at all.
Yep.
We could have handled it here.
Oh.
Because hygiene was just huge
oh,
in this
God.
Area.
Oh,
which we God. Also kind of really learned about with the Zuriab thing.
Yes.
Like, with
yes.
that, like, yeah, it was a big thing.
Uh-huh.
Castile actually produced one of the best, most prized soaps in Europe at the time. It was oh. like, it was like a hard white soap. It looks like a modern soap. Like, of today. It was made out of olive
Castile
oil.
Soap.
Is that still
a thing? Is that not a thing?
It probably is. It probably is. Because, like...
Is that not Mercer's 18-in-1 soap? Castile soap?
Wait,
am I crazy?
What? No, is it?
Is it?
Yes!
Oh, my God! Pure Castile liquid.
Oh
soap.
My God, the way I want to call him right now.
That
we're not
is
going
so
to.
Funny.
Listen, that's the top of the line shit right there. We should all be using that.
It has one less L, but our friend Mercer has 18-in-1 soap.
Yeah.
18
you guys.
In one soap.
1/8.
He's like, yeah, look at the bottle. And he's like, you can use it for detergent. You can brush your teeth with it.
Okay, but you can. We know that
you can
now.
Wash dishes. It's Castile soap.
It's
Castile soap. It has one less L, I think, than this Castile.
Yeah.
But like,
man, no, it's
wow.
gotta be the same.
Now, before we were really giving him shit for an 18-in-1 soap, and now
no.
I feel like a fool.
Yeah, no,
honestly.
He's the one who should be giving us shit. We should
no
be
kidding.
Washing our lives in Castile soap.
My floors, my teeth,
oh my, God.
My dishes, my laundry.
Like, now I'm gonna, the next time I see Mercer, like this, like, very good, like, boo hurt. Oh, yeah, I'm gonna be like, you smell like Kathy.
You smell like
Kathy. He's gonna be like, Maddie, go away.
I'm
who let you
finally,
in?
Enough is enough, Maddie. I'm filing a restraining order.
Yeah,
Maddie, you have to stop sniffing my soap. I caught you in the bathroom again.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't want to buy Castile soap.
That's like,
when it's available to me right here.
The bathroom door is like locked. Like, Maddie, let us in. You just hear me, and they're like,
Maddie, you're gonna pass
I
out.
Can't
and
stop.
You have to stop. I can't stop. I'm pretty sure his is like peppermint or something. So it's probably just gonna smell like peppermint.
Oh my God,
which is also beautiful.
God Love bless. Yeah. God bless. Anyways, Castilian soap apparently is still a thing. The Spanish at this time had manuals laying out how to wash your hair, brush your teeth, blow your nose, keep your breath fresh.
All like with Castile soap, apparently.
All with that. 18 in one.
18 uses. <There's laughs>
so many things, yeah. man. Not just for external use. It's everything.
It's
like,
everything,
it's
yeah.
just, you can drink it.
Like,
all of it. 18. Like, someone counted up to 18 purposes.
How can there possibly be
18?
God, your toilet, your cat, like,
yeah,
who
your
knows?
Car, like,
your
I don't
car,
know.
Yeah.
God, okay. Yeah, but they were all about it. Isabella's court had a professional tooth scrubber. Someone would come in and scrub your teeth.
Oh, love.
They
oh
had
my
these.
Gosh, when you're, like, tired, and you're like, I asked my boyfriend, I was like, can you lift me up, bring me into the shower, turn it on, wash me, dry me, put my lotion on, put my deodorant on, dress me, put me in the car, and then put it on autopilot and get me home. Like, I don't want to do anything. I want to just lay there with someone brushes my teeth,
please. There you go.
Well, I don't want to do anything.
You would have thrived at Alhambra.
Oh, you would have fucking thank thrived. You would have thrived. Loved it. Except they would have made me get up probably at an early hour and, like, put on a million layers of clothing. But I think I would have been excited about
it. They would have put it on for you.
They would have put it on for me.
You
and
would,
like,
have to stand there. If you didn't want to stand there, though, and vocalize that, they would figure it out.
Exactly. And, like, I'm putting on those clothes.
Yeah.
That's worth it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's way cuter than what I'm wearing.
Oh, my God. And what they're wearing now. Like, those, like, mantilla veils and stuff. Like, oh.
Stop.
The fucking Spanish.
Yeah. I want that on my body.
Oh, my God. They have, like, these gorgeous bathhouses and and all the palaces that were taken from the Moors, right? So in Catherine's,
no, did you not hear the noise that just came from my body?
No,
you said bathhouses and I literally went
I didn't notice because that's correct. Thank that's the appropriate God.
I hope the mic didn't pick up on it because I was like, that's hope it did
so much.
I'm so sorry. I'm not cutting it out.
Everyone hit like that 15 second reverse and go back over and over again. But like, you would make that noise if you've seen the bathhouses.
Oh,
though.
Yeah.
Like, it's absolutely.
I stand amazing. Behind it.
Oh, yeah. No, me too. Yeah. I love it. So Catherine's rooms would have had jars of rose water, amber, straight musk. I love musk smell too. Oh, I fucking love that shit. Balsam, scented woods and clays, orange blossom, lemon blossom, and a civet cat.
A what?
It's a cat.
Huh?
Yeah, I'm not gonna not tell you this. what? So they would have a cat, and it's like not a cat. But it's, like, it's a sort of type of cat. And so, like, this cat has an anus. And this anus has a gland. And the gland has a substance.
No.
And the substance has a smell that they liked. And the smell was described as acrid, I guess, which is strong and bitter and burns your throat a little bit. And they, like, could not get enough. It's also sticky and white. I don't know if they, like, applied this or just, like, sniffed it or what. And I'm sorry if everyone's face looks like Emily's does right now because she looks fucking horrified.
Sorry? Yeah, what?
Yeah, that's just one of the smells. Yeah, strong and bitter, burns your throat.
No, I feel like when my cat pees on clothes, like, that just smells like ammonia, though. Yeah. Are they just describing ammonia?
It has to be this civet cat, though. Like, it has to be that certain cat.
Wow.
Yeah, like, right. Just that cat's anus.
Okay.
And well, that gland.
That's
substance.
Choice, yeah.
Sticky
okay.
White. Yeah. All right. Well. I don't know how they, again, I don't know if they're applying it.
Interesting.
If, like, the cat's just existing around and it's good.
I'm just going to throw this out there that one of us needs to do the history of perfumes or something.
Oh my God, yeah.
That would be so fun.
That'd be so fun.
Because of shit like this.
Because of shit like this. And you can also buy Catherine de' Medici's and
Antoinette's
perfume like today. God. Now
yes.
It's out there. It's out there. Oh God, like, actual
about
formulas.
That.
No, I know.
Oh my God, can we make that episode one day when we're rich and can afford to buy those perfumes
yes.
And then, like, bring them and then smell them?
Oh my God, everyone stand by in 30 years.
Oh my gosh, we
maybe
can afford these.
We'll start saving now.
I was just about to say, I'm going to start pinching pennies right this second, baby.
Uh-huh. That's where we're at here. They had these exotic fruits, and Catherine would actually adopt Granada's symbol, the pomegranate, as her own. That's going to be her
Ooh.
Emblem for the rest of her life.
That's
even
cool.
Now. Yeah, even now. Like, at her grave, like, people will leave, like, pomegranates
that's
and
very
stuff.
Cute.
And that was, like, the symbol of Granada.
I love
so
that.
She, like,
a pomegranate
that.
Is a cool, because, like,
is.
The things that it symbolizes, too, mm-hmm. And, like, its mm-hmm. connection with Persephone.
Yeah.
And, like, I love that.
Yep, and, like, the fertility stuff. And, like, the way that she, like, kind of had it cut, it almost looked like a little...
does
you know?
It?
Yeah.
Okay, Georgia O'Keefe.
It does a little bit.
Cute.
Yeah, so you know. So she mostly would have seen, like, the walls and the gardens of the Alhambra mm-hmm. in her life. And, oh, let me get into that.
Ooh.
We're going to talk about the Alhambra again. I'm going to post pictures. But, oh, my God, you guys. It is absolutely fucking breathtaking. Back then it was even better. Even better. Bigger, more elaborate. They were literal palaces within palaces. And when you walk up to this place, you see like these huge red walls. Like it sits up on this perch, you know, with these palm trees everywhere. It was paved with white marble. There was literally marble glistening, contemporary accounts say, glistening inside, outside, the columns, the floor. The floors were made up of 15-foot slabs of sparkling marble.
Oh my God.
Like, it's, you can't picture this. Water flowed gently through all of these gardens, through this pipe system, and like into the rooms of the palaces, like through all these little channels. There was gardens with like these pools of marble tanks in there. And then the marble tanks had crystal clear running water that ran into like each of the other palaces, and these bathhouses with these giant vaulted ceilings with different rooms for hot water and warm water and cold water that you would move through for all of these different, you know, experiences.
This is my dream.
Oh no. It's going to get a little Renaissance upgrade under Charles one day.
Shut
and
the
he fucking
fuck up. Are you yeah. fucking
no,
kidding
this
me?
This is so superior to anything he does to it. And it's really devastating.
Oh my God.
Every single part of the ceilings were painted elaborately. This is an explosion of color. There's gold works, ivory, cypress. Like, it's so beautiful. Travelers, like, who were tasked with going there to describe this place, like, couldn't do it.
Oh,
like,
my
they were
gosh.
Having a hard time finding words to, yeah. like, there was this, oh my God, okay, this is where Catherine of Aragon grew up. This, there is this place called the Court of Lions, mm-hmm. and it was this garden with all of these stone creatures that were painted with, like, these super bright colors, and to contrast that, oh my God, like, look at my arm.
Yeah.
To contrast that, there is this place called the Court of Myrtles, which again was paved with white marble. And at night, the whole thing glowed and it radiated this like soft white, like dreamlike. Like people oh felt like gosh. They weren't like awake when they walked.
Oh,
in.
I like can picture like the fogginess of like oh, how it would
yeah.
feel. Yeah.
And like how the lights reflected.
Yeah.
The bright, I wrote in brackets, like, I want you to know that I'm crying while writing this.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
The bright moon and stars, because of like where this is all set
oh
and stuff,
my God.
It would reflect off of like these still pools of water that would reflect off of the marble. And then like they have all of these smells going with the candle. And like, I just can't imagine being there.
And you know, there's like so little light pollution that mm-hmm. like you can see mm-hmm. all the stars.
Oh my God.
So clearly.
And just to like on like the opposite of like this colorful like Court of Lions, like the Court of Myrtles.
Yeah, I love that.
There was another place called and it still exists now called the General Life Gardens. Okay. It was a palace and garden within all of this. This place had springs and pools and channels of water flowing all throughout it. It had a waterfall that fell 10 arm lengths into this marble tank. And people, when it was
wow.
hot, would, like, go stand by this tank and, like, have, like, the mist, you know, like,
oh.
just cool them down.
Oh,
like,
my
delicate
God.
Little kisses of water.
What a dream.
There were myrtles with rabbits hopping in and out amongst them. And, like, people would go here. It was quiet. People would go here to, like, contemplate and think. There were writings in Arabic on the walls that said things like, respect those whose words are beautiful, mm-hmm. and enter with composure, speak thoughtfully, be short on words, leave in peace. Like,
oh.
are just written, like, all over the walls
oh
in these
gosh.
Places.
Live, laugh, love.
Yeah, literally, gather, you know, like, in
our
Arabic.
Our nest.
Yeah, God. Our tribe. But yeah, this is the beauty that is surrounding Catherine, who is going to be one of the last true princesses of the Alhambra to live here in all of its glory. And, oh man, it is so beautiful, but life is happening around mm-hmm. her, and life is rough, because it is at this time. A lot of tragedy is going to strike her family, like, pretty much back to back.
Yeah.
So, Juan, who was married to Margaret
yeah.
of Austria, yeah, died, right? Mm-hmm. We know that. And it was awful because it was a love match. And they
yep,
could
they
have, like, ruled the
other.
Fucking world.
Yeah,
and it was
God.
So awful.
So many things had gone differently.
Mm-hmm.
I can't.
So remember when I said Isabella died in childbirth? It was a son. And he lived.
Oh.
So they were, like, fuck.
Yeah.
Juan's dead, but Isabella has the son. He is, this little baby is now the heir to not only Portugal, but all of Castile and Aragon. So Catherine, Isabella is like, and Ferdinand are like, oh my God, because think about that, right?
Yeah.
Like, think about, and Catherine is sitting here seeing the pressure of that male heir. What happens when one dies? Like, she's learning real quick, like, how vital it is to have those heirs, and what happens when, like, life is jeopardized in that way.
Yeah. Oh, God. And knowing her future. No.
Yep. Catherine, and Henry the VII needs them too. Everyone does. So Isabella is like, I've got to get to that fucking baby. Like, that is our grandchild, and he's the heir to all of our kingdoms. And she does, and she gets there, and that sweet little baby dies in her arms. Isabella is holding her. He's less than 2 years old.
No!
And it just dies. And this, Isabella never recovers.
They don't know why. Like, is there a reason why? It was like some serious illness or something?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I didn't look into that. I'm sure that info is out there.
Yeah.
But,
so many old babies.
Yeah, God. And like, especially back then, right?
God, yeah.
And so Isabella is absolutely wrecked from then on. Ferdinand is too, but Isabella never recovers from this. But Juana.
Yeah.
Juana is married, and she had a baby, and that baby's a boy.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So
we're back in. Uh-huh. We're back in now. So this baby is going to be Charles. Again, Margaret of Austria episode, that Charles.
Okay.
Extremely important. He is so important in history. This little baby boy is going to go on to rule over one of the greatest empires Europe's ever seen.
Yeah.
He's going to be so important. It's one of those things where Catherine could have never known it.
Oh,
how important this baby is going to be to her later in life, and how she is going to literally dump everything she has on his shoulders and hope he comes through for her.
Oh my God.
Looking at like this little baby nephew, you know, like having no clue that one day my life is literally going to depend on you not abandoning
that
me.
That is insane.
It's insane. Yeah. It is insane. She's going to pin all her hope on him one day. But now we're up at 1501 now, right? Catherine is supposed to be in England 8 months ago.
Oh, no. Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, God.
And Ferdinand and Isabella are just stalling, like, so hard. And, like, just openly stalling.
Yeah.
Henry the VII is just
losing his mind.
He is just sweating bullets. He's not okay. And why, right? Well, why are they stalling?
Yeah.
And no one actually knows. We can speculate.
Yeah.
A lot of people think that Isabella maybe just wanted to hold on to that last baby
girl.
You know?
No, that did cross my mind.
Yep. Maria left just a year before.
Yeah.
And Catherine was like, she stayed with them the longest, age-wise.
Okay, yeah.
And so Isabella could have just not wanted to let go of that daughter, her last one.
Yeah, absolutely. You know?
Ferdinand didn't want to either, though. He was also stalling really hard. He's got shit to do. He had to leave Granada to go handle some shit. There was a plague outbreak in England, and so Ferdinand was like, I'm just gonna kind of, like, wait for that. Not, like, sending my daughter into plague-ridden whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Also, though, little Catalina was daddy's favorite.
Oh,
like,
that's
loved
cute.
Her.
I mean, that's not cute to have
it's
favorites,
rough.
But like, still, it's cute that they just like adore her so much. Like, I don't want you to go, though. I just love you.
He straight up told her, like, of all my daughters, you're the one I love the best.
Oh, that's like just so fucked.
So fucked.
Yeah,
like, yeah.
I love that he loves her, but that's fucked.
It is very fucked.
Yeah.
Again, remember that, because people just really hate Ferdinand for a lot of things that happened to Catherine later,
okay.
It's not. I get it. I get why they do. It's not super fair given. The time. It's just we can't think. We cannot put ourselves in this at all.
Nope.
One time he favored her so much that one time he tried to persuade Parliament to let her stand in for him at a meeting that he wasn't going to be there for. Like, she left at like 16.
Oh,
like, she is a child. And like, they were like, yeah, we're just like not going to meet if you're not here and stuff. He's like, but I mean, you can.
I trust her, and they're like,
we're just going to wait for you. We're good.
Thank you, though, sir.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. But, like, I little bit love that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's so many reasons I don't love it, but I do a little bit love it.
Right, yeah. And, like, he's gonna make her an ambassador one day. Oh, just watch out. Oh. Like, for real, real. And that was something that never happened.
Oh, shit.
But, like, when she, like, spoiler alert, when she is in England, he's going to make her the official ambassador, and no one ever did that.
Wow.
And she's fucking
hell, of course she is. Catherine's she was raised brilliant. For this shit, and Catherine she's smart.
Is brilliant for it.
Yeah.
Another thing that everybody said is that Catherine, out of all of them, all of the siblings, was the one who was most like Isabella. Looked oh. like her, acted like her. It was a little Isabella. Wow. Like, that is what everyone said. Which also might have been the reason why Ferdinand favored her a little bit. Because
oh, yeah, because, like, you're a little mini version of yeah. my girl. I fucking That's love really cute.
Isabella so much.
That's really cute.
But hey, guess what? They can't stall anymore. They're like, okay.
Yeah.
Yep, we'll send her. So it is May 21st in 1501, and Isabella had originally planned on going with her.
Okay.
I'm
shocked she didn't.
Right? With Juana, the first one to, oh my gosh. Well, I guess Isabella would have been first. When Juana left, though, she had, like, an army, like, this fleet of ships
yeah.
that went with
oh,
her.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
Maria had a retinue as well, a little smaller. Catherine doesn't really. She's weird. She's kind of, yeah. It's always this huge show, you know, and it's just not this time. I wonder if Catherine, like, noticed, you know, like, I wonder if she was like, huh, here's this, like, Juana had a whole fucking, like,
yeah,
all of us went with Maria, and, like, my mom doesn't even come. Like, I wonder if was, or if she was like, no, I got this. Like, it's hard to say.
Yeah, I wonder, like, if, like, any context was given to her, like, any, like, warning of, like, babe, you don't need this. Like,
yeah, right?
You got it. It's fine. Or if there's, like, different reasons, if they told her the reasons. Like,
yeah, yeah.
What was that reason?
But, yeah, Isabella, I mean, gosh, she may have not. She's in her 50s now. She may not be feeling well. That the death of that grandson really, really wrecked her.
Yeah.
But whatever the reason was, she has to put her in the care of somebody. And she picks somebody. And it is the extremely bossy and abrasive new lady mistress, Elvira Manuel.
My God. Elvira?
Every single account of Elvira said that she fucking sucked. Like,
her name is Elvira.
Her name is Elvira.
Listen, if you're Elvira, you're either going to be the worst person to ever exist, or you're going to be such a boss fucking bitch that I can't handle it.
Yeah, you're too much of a boss bitch for me.
Yeah.
Like, I am unworthy.
I can't handle you. Yeah. No, I am not worthy to be in even your shadow. Like, absolutely not.
God, is anyone listening from Spain? Can you just, like, audio us on Instagram and say Elvira with the accent, though? Because I bet that sounds
please.
So beautiful.
Yes, I want to hear
I've never
that.
Heard oh it with God, a oh Spanish God, oh accent.
Yeah.
So, yeah, hey, pop in. But, yeah, Elvira sucks. Catherine was mortified. She was probably, like, we don't know if she, like, begged her mom no, but everything said, much to Catherine's dismay, it was Elvira.
Oh, yeah.
No one likes her.
Oh,
and
my
she's
God.
Gonna fucking be a
pain in the ass.
Oh, God. Like, just a fucking
Elvira,
menace.
No! You could have been so great!
She's, I know! We were rooting for you, Elvira! Yeah. She's in the joint care of Elvira and her husband, Pedro Manrique. Pedro, not much better. He's super overbearing. He's a proud lord of, like, a lower Spanish town. They weren't coming back to Spain. They were gonna stay with Catherine in England, like, forever.
Oh, my gosh. That is, like, their rule. Like, oh, the second I'm queen, you're getting the fuck out of here, bitches.
Yeah.
Like,
direct,
I can't handle you.
Like, contemporary sources to Catherine said things like, much to her, quote, horror, they were said to stay on with her. Like, she ain't down.
Yeah.
Right? She's also traveling with an archbishop and a bishop. They're going to go to the wedding. They're going to come back after, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, England was like, listen, you got to bring ladies with you. We have requirements. You have to bring ladies who are, quote, of gentle birth and beautiful, or at least by no means ugly, end quote.
They got to be like a six. Like a 6.5 or better.
Or at least by no means ugly. Like, at least, okay, fine. They don't have to be 10 out of 10.
They have to be beautiful.
But like they have to be better than average.
Come on.
Yeah, listen.
Spain, please. And it's like, I feel like everyone in Spain is like at least a 6.5.
Yeah.
So like, don't worry about it.
Yeah, no, I think you guys are good. Yeah. I don't think you have anything to worry about.
Yeah,
also, it's weird to me that like they're concerned about that. I would almost think that like Spain would be more concerned about that because they want to like put their best foot forward. And so it's like, yeah, we're gonna put like these girls of nobility, like who have been educated or like, you know, at least are very like well-mannered and beautiful, like to represent us.
Yeah,
you know, you'd think they'd be more concerned rather than England.
Yeah.
And you'd think England would be like, okay, let's see who you send and I'll be judging you based off that.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. No, yeah,
okay. That's interesting. Interesting.
They might manage to find six girls that were hot enough and noble enough for this, and so they're okay. Going with her.
What an honor.
Oh my god, I would want to be one of the six so bad. I would like feel so good about myself.
Right, there would be a, like an absolute toxic part of me that'd be like
low-key want
to
be,
but like I'm of gentle breeding enough and I am also hot
if
enough.
There has to be six, send Emily and I, please.
Yes.
We travel together
and then I'll know that at the very least I'm not ugly.
Mm-hmm. At the very least.
At the very least, not ugly.
So, I can't imagine, like, goodbyes kill me. That is, like, my number one heartbreak thing.
Yeah.
Like, just nothing wrecks me like finality. So, mm-hmm. I can't imagine her saying goodbye to Isabella.
No, yeah, knowing that you would not see them again.
Yeah, and, like, mm-hmm. it's maybe you will one day,
yeah,
but
true,
probably
but, like,
not.
The likelihood is, like, and, like, there's almost... It's almost worse to, like, not know.
Yeah, right. Like, this could be it.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm walking out of the Alhambra for the last time. Uh-huh. Like, I can't. I drive past our, like, piece of shit apartments we used to live in and, like,
oh,
tear
yeah.
up.
Oh, same.
Like, I can't.
I still think all the time about, like, the houses I grew up in. Even, like, the one that I lived in for a year.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know. I just, oh, my God, I can't. So, she says goodbye. Ferdinand wasn't there. He was off dealing with stuff.
Sucks.
And so she leaves and she's going to port at the Bay of Biscay.
He's not there. Oh, his mom's not coming.
No, I know.
Dad's
she
not
just
there for the goodbye.
Fucking sets off. This journey takes forever. Like,
oh
it
God.
Takes just, like, an almost comically long time. It takes fucking 3 months
what?
To get to this port. It is an unusually long time.
From Spain to England?
Oh, no, no, from Spain to Spain. Like,
what?
Yeah, no, to get to the port in of the Bay of Biscay is in Spain.
Oh, my God.
She is just going from Granada to the port.
Oh, my God.
It takes so fucking
I'm sorry,
long.
How long was it taking people to get to fucking America at this point?
Right?
No,
like,
I don't
know.
Not 3 months. I thought it was like 3 months.
That's what I'm saying. No, like.
Can I Google that really quick? I want to know for
please
context
do.
Sake.
Do it.
Okay.
Okay.
Looked it up.
Yeah.
So I thought for good context, I would just look up like how long did it take like the pilgrims?
Yeah.
To get, you know, from Europe over to America.
To whole ass Europe.
To over to America. Over the fucking Atlantic.
Yeah. All the way.
66 days?
66 days, yeah. It took Catherine of Aragon 3 fucking months to get from Spain to Spain.
That is... It took one less month to get to America.
England has wanted her there for so long now.
Oh
like, they had stalled for so long. Like, he didn't necessarily even want it to be when Arthur was 14. He wanted it before that. And now she has left. She's just taking forever. And Henry
VII
is there just
faster,
like,
legitimately. Could they have legitimately walked there faster? Because I feel like they could have.
Henry,
I think that's possible.
Is losing his fucking mind. They could have swam. Like, I don't know.
God, I would have been like, this is a joke.
Yeah.
You're kidding me right now. Are you guys going 1.5 mile
no.
a day?
Like, Henry VII is on your level right now, like, banging his head against a fucking wall. Like, what do you mean? She's not at the port yet. Like, what do you mean?
Did we go on vacation first? Like, did they disappear?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Because, like, this is, like, cool for Catherine, and, like, it's good for, like, Isabel and Ferdinand and all of that, but, like, this is the biggest deal for England.
Yeah.
This is huge for England. England is beaming over this. Like, they are, oh my god, like, Henry the Seventh, first of all,
he was raised by Margaret Beaufort, however you say it. She is a ballin'-ass woman. She's a strong woman. Yeah. And so he was raised by a strong woman. And Henry VII is like looking at these strong Spanish women and he's like intrigued by this.
He's
like, I want that over here for my son. He literally told a visitor once that he would give up half of his kingdom if Catherine were like his mom or her mom.
Oh my gosh.
Like, if Catherine were like Isabella in any capacity, like, she could just have half of it.
I have great fucking news for you.
Yeah!
If you don't have to give up half of it. And she is.
Yeah.
If she ever fucking gets there!
It's taken so long on so many levels. On so many levels. The treaty has taken so long. The agreements have taken so long. The fucking travel time. No. And listen, Catherine doesn't give a shit. Like, she's out on her own now, and she's like, oh, wait, we're going to just take, like, a hard left. I don't know if it was the left or right, but she's like, we're not going straight to the port. I'm making a pilgrimage to the burial site of St. James because I am Catholic as shit, and everyone needs to know this.
Listen, I love that she's, like, taking a little tripsy-poo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know what? Like, go do something for your religion. Love that for you.
Go do it.
I'm so sorry for Henry, though. This is so frustrating.
Oh, my God,
I'm so sorry, my guy. Wow. I'm so frustrated for you right now.
Well, and, like, my God, like, it's you know, the terrain, again, like, there's no carts. Margaret of Austria tried to bring, like, carriages over with her, and the terrain was so bad in Spain that it fell apart. Like,
oh, my God.
It's so bad. Like, she could fall. She could die. Other people could die. And, like, Henry's just sitting there, like, my God.
Oh, my God. If I were Henry, I'd be like, honey, baby, sweetie, child.
Yeah.
I will go back with you.
Yeah.
To go on this fucking pilgrimage.
Please.
First, let's get you here. Please. In a couple years, we'll do that pilgrimage. We'll make a whole big thing out of it.
Sweet Christ.
Yeah, we'll go get ice cream while we're out.
Oh, my God. So, like, much of it.
Yeah, but can we do it not right fucking now?
Oh, my God. Can you please just
literally
come
any other
here.
Time?
Come yeah. here.
It's like every... I understand this frustration because I feel like this is a tiny version of his frustration is every fucking morning when my daughter's getting ready for school. Because this morning she came out of her room and she's just like talking about everything and anything. And I'm like, sweet girl, I'm going to need you.
You're Henry the Seventh.
To go get your clothes on or you're going to miss the bus.
Yeah.
And she's standing there and she's like, mommy, what's that on that table right there? And I'm like, it's not the clothes that you need to be putting on your body. Can we focus? Can we not make the pilgrimage over to see what is on the table over there?
Please.
I need you to get out of your little mermaid PJs right now.
Catherine, I need you in England.
I'm going to need you to focus, sweetheart. Can we just get to England?
For the love of God. No, so like, this is taking 3 months, right? She left at the end of May. It's Spain in the summer. That's slowing the party down. She's already detoured. They had to take extra rest days at this monastery in Guadalupe because it's too fucking hot and no one could. Yeah, also, this is the last daughter of Isabella and Ferdinand. So she's not just like passing through cities. No, they're throwing pageants for her. They're doing bullfights. They're like setting up all the shit.
It's like a whole tournament.
Of course, like, she's going to stop.
Yeah, and I'll just like stay here a bit. I'm having fun.
Right? Like, she's getting the works. Why hurry? And also, she was raised to be a queen of a foreign land, and she knows she's probably never coming back here.
Yeah.
Like, and if she does come back, it's probably not a good thing.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't want to come back, you know? And so, like, yeah, I'm going to take my time in the last little bit of this country, Spain.
Yes.
You know, because, like, if you think of leaving Granada and the Alhambra to, like, go to rainy gray England, you know? Yeah. Like, and she has no idea. She thinks it's this fairy tale land, you know? Like, she's taking her time. So, during this long journey, it's like, God, like, what? I don't know. So she had like exchanged all these letters with Arthur, right? Like, they had been talking to each other. Arthur was clearly coached on like telling her, like, I really wish you were here, like, please come here, kind of thing. It was also kind of like they were formal. Arthur's, you could tell, like, he was dictating them and stuff.
Oh yeah.
Every one of Catherine's, she would sign it like written by my own hand, and like this big curly swirling thing.
Yeah, like, look at how beautiful my handwriting is, and I did this myself.
Yep. And she'd like kind of ramble a little more and stuff. She's like, because I'm actually writing this.
Yeah, you know? I love that.
So I can just like picture her, like, you know, reading the letters. She has her little pendant and stuff, and like,
oh,
I don't know.
That's
like,
so cute.
just going from city to city. Yeah. And, like, and you know, they're all like, the Queen of England, like, yeah, the Queen of England stuff. And, like, oh my God. So she makes it to the fucking Bay of Biscay. Wow. So she gets on the goddamn boat. But like I said, the Bay of Biscay is so unforgiving. Like, it is just brutal. The first ship has to turn around because it's, like, going to go down. So it has to turn back, and Henry VII's head is literally going to fucking explode.
This poor man.
I don't know how he is even getting word of this. I don't know who's making it out of the Bay of Biscay to even give him, like, any kind of notes
on
this.
He just, like, knows. Like, he's, like, he just knows, and his blood pressure is rising.
He's losing his fucking shit. Yeah. So he's like, I'm taking one of my best sea captains. Get the fuck over there.
Grab her.
Yeah, you personally will be steering the boat back to England, because this man is, like, losing just years off of his life at this point.
Yeah.
There's 400 people trying to, like, overtake his crown right now. Like, money's an issue. Like, it's just, and now this, and he's just not doing
it. Oh, yeah, and you know what? If you want something done right, you gotta do it yourself.
Gotta do it yourself.
Know what? It just sounds better just to take care of it.
Yep. So listen, she left Monday, May 21st, right? Is that what I said? So at 5 p.m. on Monday, September 27th, 1501, she finally sets sail.
Oh,
and
my
she
God.
Turns around and takes her final look at home, and I looked up, like, what the Bay of Biscay, like, what it is. Oh my God, I'll post pictures.
Please.
Because what she probably, like, last saw of Spain was
at
this,
least, like, yeah, it'll look very similar.
Oh,
to
yeah,
what she's
it's
at.
They're called the Picos de Europa. And they're these, like, mountain, like, these white mountain ranges, you know, and, like, she was probably standing on top of that ship, like, watching it get smaller and smaller while she finally left. And the Bay of Biscay, for once, was completely still. She made it out. They make it out of Spain. They go round Brittany, past this little island called Ushant. Or
is this the guy that Henry sent?
Yeah.
So, like, and so of course it's like calm for the first time. He's like, this really wasn't that fucking hard, you guys.
Well, hey, he rounds the island of Ushant, and all hell breaks.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, Spain was like, go Catalina, and England was like, no!
Yeah, oh God.
Oh my God. Storms, thunder, wind, lightning, waves, God. Storms were rolling in every 4 to 5 hours.
Oh my
just
God.
Just pelting them. People on the boats, in their written account, said that the wind almost ripped the masts out of their sockets.
Oh my gosh.
One of the Englishmen on board, who had been back and forth several times, said, like, the wind was more violent than he'd ever seen it. Out on September 27th, she set out for Southampton.
Okay.
And on October 2nd, she arrived at Plymouth. No one cared. Plymouth was a much smaller port.
But whatever.
Fucking whatever. They
and
were
that
like,
also took just, like, so much less time.
It took so much less
time.
Than
the previous journey.
And, yeah, and they're just like, whatever. Like, Plymouth was so, like, unconcerning at the time, like, that later on, like, they'll ask the Spaniards where they came into England. They're like, I have no fucking idea.
Like, some fucking place.
I don't know. Yeah. Southampton was definitely, like, the bigger one, but they didn't care.
It's like if someone had to make an emergency landing with their plane in Boise, Idaho.
Yeah, we're like, sorry.
Yeah, where'd you come in? I was supposed to go to fucking
Seattle.
I don't know where the fuck I was.
Yeah. Like, we are the Plymouth.
Yeah, we're
sure.
the Plymouth.
But my God, it is 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and Catherine of Aragon has arrived in England. And that is part one.
Yay!
Oh my gosh. That was just a lot of backstory. It's going to get so much.
I'm so excited.
Even just part two is so much.
I'm so in this. This whole thing, I kept thinking, like, oh my God, I want to watch, like, the Tudors, or, like, something.
Please do.
Yeah, I want to.
They do such
I've
a
never
good job.
Seen it.
The Spanish princess does a really good job, too.
Really?
Again, they, sure, there's, like, inconsistent things in there.
Right.
It's the same people who do, like, the White Princess and the White Queen, and they throw in, like, was Elizabeth Woodville a witch? No, but it's fun. You know, like, they do
They make it a
like
little
that.
More fun.
Yeah.
Like, they take some artistic liberty.
But
which, God, that's so fucking common.
It's
like,
so common.
Whatever.
But they do a good job. I love the casting.
Yeah.
Who they cast as Catherine is great. Henry was great. Arthur was great. All the casting. Margaret hit all of them. Casting, 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
And that actress who plays her, that intensity, that pride, that, like, stubborn, like, she does it that Spanish, you know, like, and she had like the fair skin and auburn hair and those bright blue eyes, but that like Spanish fire, you know, like,
God.
I would recommend.
Okay.
I
will be
it.
Watching that then.
Yeah.
Okay.
That
they
sounds
do
great. A good job at setting the scene.
That's
here.
My next show then.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
Yeah. I hope you guys liked that. My tutor people.
I fucking loved that. Oh my God. I loved that.
It's going to get so, God, Catherine is so amazing. Yeah, and like the next things that start to happen are just absolutely.
I'm so, oh, this has me so fucking hyped right now.
Oh, good. Don't lose that over the
no.
next, like, few weeks,
oh my God,
everyone.
No.
Stay in it.
I am
stay
so
it.
Hyped. Ooh, I'm so excited. Okay, let's do a fresh cut.
Okay, bye.
Bye. All right, now it's time for a fresh cut.
Whoop, whoop.
Okay, so I'm not going to read the title, but it's subreddit, Am I Overreacting?
Oh, okay.
Yep. Okay.
Fun. You've been finding some new ones lately.
Yeah, some new subreddits and stuff. It's fun.
That's me every day. Am I overreacting?
Yeah, I wonder that about literally everything I do, because I do overreact.
Very
to
likely am.
Everything, yes. And I love it.
We don't help, like, and then you come and tell me about it, and then I give
and then
you even
you
more.
Yes, exactly.
And we're both screaming and crying.
But then somehow after that I calm down, and then I'm good, and then I don't overreact anymore. See?
There
it's just
go.
Like we just override the overreacting
there
scale,
yep.
And then it just like goes back to base.
Oh, beautiful.
And we're good.
I love us.
I love us too. I love you.
I love you.
So I have this friend. Let's call him Clay.
Okay.
That I've been seeing for the past couple months now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We're currently in the stage of figuring out whether we're a good match or not. A mutual friend of ours, let's call her Julia, is his best friend. Whoop, hate that.
Yep.
When she found out I like Clay, she got weirdly territorial, even though she says she doesn't like him and she's seeing a friend of Clay's.
Okay, whoop, bye.
Hate that.
Yep.
No,
bye,
Julia. I'd be out.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be out.
That
I'd be like.
Is like one red flag. You can't ignore it.
Yeah.
Get out.
She harshly shut me down and told me not to go for it.
Wow. What? Wait, what? She asked Julia if she should...
Like, to not go for, like, the relationship. Go for Clay.
Okay.
Okay. She said he isn't in the right headspace right now, but I feel like she's infantilizing him and not letting him make his own decisions. Now for the real issue. He and I were going over...
Oh, wow. That wasn't even
that
the fucking
wasn't
issue.
The real issue.
Whoa.
Oh, no. He and I were going over boundaries recently, and he said he's a...
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Are you ready to rage?
No.
A really affectionate person that likes to cuddle his best friend.
Oh. Okay, Clay.
At first, he said he only cuddles his guy friends
Why
from back home.
Why don't you just go fuck Julia?
Right?
You're cuddling your guy friends, too.
Go, just go fuck all your friends.
Yeah, just to get... No, this ain't
no.
it, girl.
Yep.
Clay's just a... He's the world's. Just go.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Oh, no.
So from back home, so I don't see that as an issue. I'd be a little like, okay, interesting. But you teach your own.
Whatevs, yeah. Okay,
but
I guess.
But then he mentioned he wants to cuddle Julia when she comes to hang out for spring break.
See, okay, so, like, here's my
And he's,
thing.
Like, thinking about it and, like, planning for
yeah,
it.
So
this
like,
is so fucking
the
weird.
The thing is like... You don't cuddle your guy friends at home. You just fucking lied to me.
Oh.
So you can
yes,
say like,
did.
Oh no, it's totally fine because I do it with guy friends too.
Yeah.
Like, which also, why?
Yeah.
Second, like, we both have friends who are guys.
Yes.
Could you imagine?
No.
No.
It actually makes me,
oh my God.
Like, a little sick.
Anything beyond like a maybe 2 second at most hug.
Yes.
Like, we're not even standing with like our arms around each other.
No.
Like, let alone like cuddle.
Like,
me?
Maybe I'm also not like the most touchy person, period.
Yeah.
I love a good hug, but I am also just like not a cuddly person. So maybe I'm the wrong person to say this, but like, literally cuddling anybody else except for my children, like a child.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, my children, my nephew.
Yeah.
Or my significant other
yeah.
is weird to me.
I am a cuddly person and same.
Yeah.
Like,
or,
I'm not
honestly,
to...
maybe even my parents, too.
Yeah.
On occasion. Like, I don't, though. That's
no.
the thing. But I see that being normal. Like,
yeah.
even, like, a
yeah,
grown-ass
right, right, right.
adult, like, if you're going and you're snuggling up to your mom, like, who fucking
I wouldn't
cares?
Think that that's weird.
No.
Yeah. I haven't even cuddled you.
No!
And, like,
we
I
don't
love
cuddle,
you.
And you are my best friend.
Yeah, yeah, like, we are, we've said it a million times,
exactly.
we're tragically
heterosexual.
We wish we weren't.
So it's
and
like,
so...
he is...
No.
heterosexual.
Yeah.
And this is a woman, this is too far.
And that's a fucking
this
lie.
This is wild.
He literally
he
lied
does
to her.
Not... cuddle his man.
Nope,
nope. I do not believe
nope,
him.
Nope. No.
The fact that he's, like, planning and thinking about this, like, I was thinking I really want to cuddle Julia. Like, are you, like, just fantasizing it? This is so weird.
Yeah, just go fuck Julia.
Just go fuck
People
Julia.
People are so weird.
Why don't you just go fuck her? How hard would it be just to break up and just, like...
That's so bizarre.
You guys aren't even officially together, really. No. This is so weird.
Also, like, if it's taking you 2 months to be like, I don't know, should we go for it?
Then you should not. Like, maybe if you're not, like, dying to be with someone, then don't be with them.
2 months is a long time to be like, I don't know.
Yeah, are we even the right fit? Like, do you guys not know each other at all?
No,
like, have you gone on one date in those 2 months? My God. He also mentioned that she'd be staying with him all week.
Oh, yeah.
I said I wasn't comfortable with that, but I'm trying to trust him and ask that they at least sleep in separate beds, and he agreed. The fact that you even have to ask that is insane.
And she's, wow, this girl, some people are so chill, man. Like, could not be me. Like, I did, even having to have the words come out of my mouth, like, but you're, like, not going to sleep in the same bed.
If that's what? Even a question, if I think that that thought even crosses mind, it'd be done. I'd be over.
Wow, yeah. Some people are so chill.
Oh, my God,
I just, wow.
That is wild.
Yeah.
The first night they slept in the same bed.
The first night.
Second night, I barely talked to him because I'm so hurt he crossed that line. The morning after the second night, he posts a video on his story where he's clearly laying next to someone. When I asked if it was Julia, all he had to say was, she fell asleep while I was drinking my tea. And I told him I need space. He doesn't see a problem with it. But am I overreacting?
You are severely underreacting.
I was going to say, hun, this is like, where's your friends?
Yeah.
Where's your girlfriends? Like, to I be would like double smack you across both cheeks.
Yeah, and be like, listen. Why did you even ask that question?
The
How
first
have you not
night.
Broken up with him? Have some fucking self-respect, babe.
The first night.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he couldn't even, like, be bothered. Again, he lied to you about the cuddling his guy friends thing.
Yeah.
He lied to you when he said, yeah, we'll sleep beside. He never had any goddamn intention. Mm. That other bed wasn't even set up.
No.
Like, zero.
No, they probably fucked.
Oh,
definitely did.
Right. And if they didn't, like, just do it.
Just do it. Get it,
like,
over
my
with.
God, my, like, what's God. Even the fucking point? It's almost worse if they did cuddle all night. Like, just fuck her, dude.
Yeah.
Like, maybe you should just not be in a relationship and just go cuddle and fuck everyone you want.
Yeah.
And leave this poor girl out of
that's
it.
That's the thing, is, like, clearly you're not ready for a relationship.
No.
And that's okay, but don't lead someone on to think that you are.
God, this girl, man. I worry about her.
Oh, yeah. I've been so hurt and mad that he crossed the line. I've barely talked to him the past couple days. He seems to not care.
Oh my god.
3 nights in a row they've been getting drunk together and doing God knows what, and I feel like I'm losing my mind. Oh my god.
Yeah.
This is so frustrating.
No, this is really, really, really frustrating.
I don't want to
like shake her and just say, babe, what are you doing? You're like enabling your own pain. Just leave this man.
Oh my god.
And it's always like the...
No. So they're like, you know, there's comments like, no, you're not overreacting. He and she both crossed the boundary. It doesn't care how much he cares about himself. And then there's this comment. Are you sure you like him? He sounds lame as hell.
Thank you, person.
I appreciate that.
Yes.
Like, just the simplicity of, like, he sounds like a fucking loser.
He does sound like
you like him?
Fucking twat, dude.
You sure
like,
about
this?
That?
Yeah. Like, are you, like, if you have to get on Reddit... Like, I don't know. I just, oh, God,
then there
girl.
Might, that's a red flag in of itself. Like, yeah, if it comes to that point.
I like to cuddle my friends, and I want to cuddle Julia when she comes and stays with me for a week. But we won't sleep in the same bed. But she did the first night, and then she fell asleep while I was drinking my tea. But we're getting drunk together. Get fucked,
Get
Clay.
Go fuck, Julia.
Yeah,
God. Yeah, this poor girl. Okay, well,
There's that.
Wow.
What an underreaction.
Yeah. Girl, if you are out there, OP,
ugh.
Severely underreacting.
Yeah.
Listen to us as though we are your besties.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I am taking you, your face between my hands, my hands on your cheeks.
She's
and I am like nose to nose
physically
with you.
Out right now. And I can picture your face. Yeah.
We are forehead to forehead. And I'm saying, break up with him.
Yeah.
Leave.
Yeah.
What is
don't even break up with them, just ghost them.
You're more beautiful than Cinderella.
Yeah.
You have a face like a sunshine. You smell like pine needles.
Literally.
Yes. That.
God.
Have some self-respect.
Some fucking self-respect.
Dumb Clay. put him in the mud where he belongs. That's where Clay belongs.
Ah.
All right, bye.
Bye.